My name is Daniel Oh, as Libby introduced me earlier. And Bill, he had a surgery on Thursday, so earlier this month he asked me to see if I'm available on the first two Sundays of January. Ellen and I will be in Baltimore next weekend, so we won't be here. So I was sad to say I'm available only the first Sunday of January. So here I am. And he gave me a passage, immediately picking up where he left off, from John chapter 1. He's been on a series on John chapter 1. So today's portion is from John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. We live in a world that's increasingly more messy and chaotic. This constantly changing and shifting world that we live in today, it causes us to easily lose our sight of the true north. Where is true north? Over there. True north, and wander away from the true path that God has laid out for us. We really need to redraw our life navigational map. As especially we start this new year of 2012, we need to recommit our lives so that we can, with wholehearted commitment, follow our true north, Jesus Christ, all through this year. And our passage today, through the life and message of John the Baptist, the Lord God encourages us to realign and rethink our own life navigational system so that we can indeed stay true to our identity and our life calling that we all share in Jesus Christ. So hear the word of the Lord from John chapter 1, verse 19 through 34. Now, this was John's testimony. When the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" they asked. He answered, "No." So finally they asked him, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, 'Make straight the way for the Lord.'" Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied. "But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he I meant. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit from heaven come down as a dove, and remain on him. I would not have known him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen, and I testify, that this is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. Father God, I pray that the same Holy Spirit that caused Apostle John to record these words will now quicken our spirits and open our hearts and illuminate our minds and speak to us, to our lives, so that our lives would engage with the word of God not with our intellect only, but with our souls and with our hearts, so that our lives will be transformed today to begin to walk on our journey of faith toward that destination, true north in our life. So we commit this hour to you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. From this passage, we can glean two critical components in John the Baptist's life navigation system. The first is found in verse 23. He says, I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord. The first component, it is namely his identity. He knew with certainty and conviction who he was. How about you? Do you know who you are? Do you really know who you really are and whose you are? And furthermore, as a result of knowing who you are, do you organize your life around this identity of yours in everyday life? You see, John's identity was made very clear to him even before his birth. Angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah, and you know the story, we've been through Christmas just now, and told Zechariah, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you. Many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, a Nazirite vow from before his birth. And many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You see, his identity was clearly communicated to John even before he was conceived. Then when John was 6 months along in his mother's womb, he experienced an amazing phenomenon regarding this identity of his. It says in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, at that time, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, who was just told that she was going to be with child herself, she got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Who's that baby? John the Baptist. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child whom you will bear. But why? Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb, John the Baptist to be, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. What a tremendous, amazing phenomenon. And 6 months old in the womb, already having that kind of confirmation. And then after he was born, 8 days after, all the relatives and neighbors come together to circumcise the child, John the Baptist. And they are going to name him after his father, Zechariah. And his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. And so all the people said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. So they motioned to the father to ask him what he wants to name the child. So Father Zechariah asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's amazement, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately, his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak for the first time in 9 full months. For the first time, maybe 10 months, I don't know. Okay. And he prophesied, the father, Zechariah prophesied, you, my son, you will be called a prophet of the Most High, and you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. What a fantastic confirmation this is. Even though he's only 8 days old, he has that confirmation of who he is, his identity. And you can be certain that John's parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah, they recounted these stories to them over and over again. It's not like they had internet or TV and show the same, you know, Disney movies all the time. No, they recounted these stories over and over again as John was growing up. And we know in Luke chapter 1, verse 80, the child grew and he became strong in spirit. And he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. So, you know, by the time he appeared, John the Baptist appeared publicly to Israel, he would have spent not hours, not days, but he would have spent years of his time deeply meditating on his identity and his life calling as the one who was to prepare the way for the Lord. How about us? Do you really know who you are? Do you? How do you define your identity? The world defines your identity based on what you have accomplished for yourself and what people say about you through tabloids and internet stuff and whatever else. But God defines your identity not based on what you have accomplished for yourself. No, but what God has done for you and what God says is true about you. Satan whispers his lies to you, saying, your behavior tells you what to believe about yourself. That's a total lie. But God's truth is that your belief about yourself, what you believe about yourself, that belief determines your behavior every day. My wife, Ellen, and I, we go all over the world providing life coaching, marriage and family coaching. And we find that people all over the world, pastors and missionaries included, struggle with this issue of identity all the time. So listen to the words of Apostle John when he talks about our identity in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The world does not know us. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God defines our identity based on what He has accomplished for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And God says that now we are His children. And this, our identity as children of God, should give us an unmistakable priority and motivation to cultivate intimacy with our Father in heaven. Let us assume for a moment that a magic hidden camera had followed you during the last 30 days of your life. And this magic hidden camera is able to record everything about your life, not only your outer life, but more importantly, your inner life. Not just what you did and said, but what you meditated during the last 30 days, so as to make a documentary film about you. And would the people, the audience watching this documentary, be convinced that you belong to God and not to the world? Jesus says in John 15, verse 19, if you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. Furthermore, Jesus says in John chapter 17, verses 14 through 19, in his prayer for his disciples, Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. You know, if we are ugly Christians, judgmental, critical, and have no clue so as to build bridges in relationship with other people, and we are hated by the world for it, and we deserve it. Yeah. But if we are compassionate bridge builders of hope and healing, and in a winsome, attractive way, sharing our life testimony, testifying to the person of Jesus in gracious way, and we are hated by the world, then praise the Lord. Rejoice that we partake in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. We are children of God. We need to redraw our life navigational map in this chaotic world so that we stay true to the true north, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He called us out of this world. We're not of the world, even as Jesus is not of it. So we must be very clear about our identity as children of God and order our lives accordingly in our daily lives, beginning in our own homes. Our identity needs to be the first component in our life navigational system. We need to rediscover intimacy with the Father through reaffirming our identity as children of God. Second component in John's life navigational system was his purpose. Verse 31, it says, the reason I came was that he, Jesus, might be revealed to the world. He had no hesitation. He didn't waver at all as to his life calling. He was so certain about his life calling. He knew his life calling was all about revealing Jesus to the world. You know what? You and I, our life calling is the very same thing. Our life calling is also all about revealing Jesus to those around us. Testifying to him in authentic and personal ways that only we can. You see, to many people around us, your life may be the only version of the Bible they will ever read. You got that? Huh? They may, in fact, have several versions in their own homes, but they don't read it. So your life, as you come in contact with them, your life may be the only version of the Bible that they will ever read. How intentional are you in testifying to the person of Jesus Christ? How well do your life, words, actions, and attitudes reflect the character of Jesus on a daily basis? Listen to the words of Apostle Paul this time as he talks about his own life purpose in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. A few years later, in his testimony to King Agrippa, he says, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Picture yourself at the end of your life. For some of you, that's pretty close. But for the others of you, maybe not so close. I don't know. But nonetheless, picture yourself at the end of your life. Would you like to be able to say that you also were not disobedient to the vision from heaven, and that you ran with perseverance the race marked out for you? You see, in John, Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19, it says, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father in heaven doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does." You see, out of the overflow of his intimate relationship with the Father, Jesus purposefully listened to the Father and discerningly carried out the Father's business in the world. Let me state that one more time, okay? Out of the overflow of Jesus' intimate relationship with the Father, Jesus purposefully listened to the Father and discerningly carried out the Father's business in the world. It's in that order: intimacy, discerning, and then obeying his life calling. How about us? Do we recognize that everything in our life has been entrusted to us in his grace for his purpose? Do you know and understand what the Father is about in the world where he has placed you? Whether you are trying to reach international students in Colorado College, like David and Anna, whether you are trying to raise two adopted children in the home, like Danny and Stacy are. Why are you here? David and Anna, are you here too? Or whether you are working in the marketplace, trying to provide for your family, wherever and however we live our daily lives. Do you recognize, do you know and understand what the Father is about in the world where God has placed you today? 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 says, "There were these men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command." I don't think we have quite 200 people here today. But if there were 200 people who understood the times that we live in today and knew what we as children of God should do in this complex and chaotic world that we live in today, would that make a difference in Briargate, in Colorado Springs? Apostle Paul urges us to discern the times and know what we should be about in Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, spiritual slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." We must put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. We must clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can discern what the Father is about in the world where he has placed us. We must not receive God's grace in vain. For God says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." So listen to God and discern what he's about in the world where he has placed you. Abide in him and commune with him. As you walk with him each day, attentively listen to the Spirit's promptings and nudging and follow Him with wholehearted devotion and gospel simplicity. So we need to redraw our life navigational map. Jesus faithfully and lovingly and joyfully lived his life in obedience to his life purpose. Jesus has called us out of the world. We are not of the world, even as Jesus is not of it. So we must be very clear about our life purpose of revealing Jesus to others in our life, in our daily life, beginning in our own homes. Our purpose, life calling, needs to be the second component in our life navigational system. We need to rediscover intimacy with the Father through reaffirming our life calling of testifying to the person of Jesus and the gospel of God's grace. Now, if we may add a third component in John's life navigational system from the context of our passage today, it is his legacy. Immediately following our portion, John chapter 1 verses 35 to 42 says, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And as he saw Jesus passing by, John said again, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' And when the two disciples heard him say this, these two disciples, they followed Jesus. And turning around, Jesus looked at them following and said, 'What do you want?' And so they said, 'Rabbi, where are you staying?' 'Come,' Jesus replied, 'and you will see.' So they followed, they went and saw where Jesus was staying. So they spent that day with Jesus. It was about the 10th hour, he says. And then the passage says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus, Andrew. The first thing that Andrew did was to go and find his brother, Simon Peter, and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah.' And then he brought his brother to Jesus. When Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas,' which when translated is Peter." So it can be said that from the ministry of John the Baptist, and his ministry legacy being, what was his life calling? To prepare the way for the Lord. And his ultimate contribution to that legacy was to prepare the heart of one disciple by the name of Andrew, who in turn brought his brother, Simon Peter, to Jesus. And we know from Luke chapter 5, verse 10, that James and John are fishing business partners with Andrew and Simon Peter. So it can really be said that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the core leadership team was prepared for the eventual selection of the 12 apostles of Jesus and his world evangelization venture. His identity, his purpose, and his legacy. Those three are the components in John's life navigational system. But now, let's consider this, okay? Let's consider this together. As an amazing life as John the Baptist had, he did not live to know or experience the saving power of the gospel through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. But we have come to know and experience. John the Baptist, he read the Bible that ended with Malachi. None of the New Testament was yet written. But we have the full revelation of God's Word from the four Gospels and Acts all the way to the book of Revelation. John did not live to see the day of Pentecost and the beginning of the early church. But we are now living in the last days since the day of Pentecost and have witnessed the explosion of church growth that has spread to all over the world. Just ask Mike Greer. Mike O'Rear or Bill Dixon. Yeah. has spread to all over the world. So as we begin this new year of 2012, let us rededicate our lives to this greatest of purposes, to testify to the person of Jesus in authentic and personal ways that only we can, in the very context where God has placed us today, here and now. Who wants to make your life stand and be counted for Jesus this year, in year 2012? Lord Jesus, here I am. Send me to my marketplace. Send me to my home. Send me across the street. Send me across the river. In some cases, maybe send me across the ocean. But let me be a faithful witness to what I have seen and experienced in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for John the Baptist's life and message that encourage us to realign and rethink our own life navigation system. We want to rediscover our intimacy with you, Father, today by reaffirming our identity as your children, our purpose of testifying to the person of Jesus and the grace that he offers to us daily, and our legacy of possibly preparing hearts for Jesus Christ, unto your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen. Amen.